Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to be diving into a topic that's been making waves online, especially after hurricanes Milton and Helene. We're talking about climate change conspiracy theories.
Yeah, it's a topic that really captures the imagination, doesn't it? And I think it's understandable why people are drawn to them. After all, when you're facing these massive, powerful storms, it's natural to wonder if there's more to the story, you know, if something else is going on.
Right. Like, is someone out there controlling the weather?
Yeah.
And with climate change being such a hot topic right now, there are tons of theories flying around. Some are saying these hurricanes were, like, deliberately manipulated, while others suggest there are hidden agendas at play. It can be hard to sift through it all. So I know you've done a bunch of research on this. Where do we even start with all of this?
Well, I think a good place to begin is by understanding that climate change conspiracy theories aren't just one big unified belief system. There's actually research on this, you know. A study by Haltner, Douglas, and Liefeld back in 2021 found that only a small portion of people who are skeptical of climate change actually believe in these theories.
Really? So it's not as widespread as it might seem online.
Exactly. And even among those who do buy into these theories, you see a huge range of beliefs. Some are convinced it's all a hoax, while others accept that climate change is happening, but question what's causing it.
So it's much more nuanced than just saying, oh, these people think climate change is fake.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a complex landscape. And for this deep dive, we'll be focusing on the theories specifically about those recent hurricanes, Milton and Helene, especially the ones that claim someone's directly messing with the weather. And to really get into that, we have to look back at some historical examples that often pop up in these discussions, things like HAARP, cloud seeding, and Project Popeye.
Okay, so let's start with HAARP. What is it, and why does it always seem to be at the center of these conspiracy theories?
So HAARP stands for the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. It's basically a research facility up in Alaska that studies the ionosphere, you know, that layer of the Earth's atmosphere.
Okay, so it's looking at the atmosphere. What does that have to do with weather control?
Well, the ionosphere is super important for radio communication, right? And what HAARP does is it uses high-frequency radio waves. It basically uses them to excite a small part of the ionosphere for a bit so scientists can study how it reacts.
So it's like a giant science experiment using the atmosphere. But I still don't get why people think it can control the weather.
I know, right? Well, some people are convinced that those powerful radio waves from HAARP can be used to manipulate weather patterns, you know, like create earthquakes or even control mines. It's like thinking your microwave can conjure up a hurricane.
Sounds pretty out there to me. So what does the science actually say?
Well, the science is pretty clear on this. The scientific community has debunked these claims many times. You see, the energy levels HAARP uses are just not strong enough to have any effect on weather systems, especially on a large scale. It would be like trying to move a mountain with a feather. Plus, the ionosphere is always changing, always being influenced by things like the sun's radiation, which are way, way stronger than anything HAARP can do.
So while HAARP might be a powerful tool for research, it's definitely not some secret weather control weapon.
Right. Now, cloud seeding, that's another one that comes up a lot.
Oh, yeah, cloud seeding. That's one that I've always found kind of interesting because, well, it's a real thing, isn't it?
You're right, it is. Cloud seeding is actually a real technique, and it does involve messing with the weather, but only in a very limited way. It's basically about scattering substances like silver iodide into clouds to make it rain or snow more.
So it's like giving Mother Nature a little nudge to, like, get the rain flowing.
Exactly. A perfect way to put it. And people actually use it for things like increasing rain in places that are having a drought, or even for stopping hailstorms to protect crops. But the key thing to understand is that it can only work over a pretty small area, you know, like a few square kilometers. There's just no way it could create a giant hurricane or steer it around.
So you might be able to make it rain on your farm, but you're not going to be creating any Frankenstorms with cloud seeding.
Not a chance. Now, this brings us to another historical example people love to cite, Project Popeye.
Okay, Project Popeye. That sounds like something straight out of a spy movie. What was that all about?
It was a military thing the U.S. did during the Vietnam War. And yeah, it involved cloud seeding. Basically, the goal was to make the monsoon season last longer over a place called the Ho Chi Minh Trail. It was a way to disrupt the enemy's supply lines, you know, make the trail all muddy and hard to use. They were basically trying to use the weather as a weapon.
Wow, trying to weaponize the weather. That's pretty intense.
It was definitely controversial, and honestly, it brings up a lot of ethical questions. But even with Project Popeye, where they were intentionally trying to change the weather, the changes were just in a small area and they didn't last very long. They certainly weren't creating hurricanes or controlling weather across entire continents.
So it seems like there have been attempts to modify the weather here and there, but these historical examples don't really support the idea that someone's out there controlling the weather on a huge scale.
Exactly. And when you look specifically at hurricanes Milton and Helene, the science is actually pretty clear. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has all the data on these storms. They've really meticulously documented how these storms developed and moved, and what they've found is perfectly in line with how hurricanes naturally form and behave.
Okay, so let's dive into the specifics of these hurricane conspiracy theories. What are some of the most common ones floating around online, and how is NOAA debunking them?
Well, one of the big ones is that Hurricane Milton was deliberately steered, you know, like someone is driving it around using HAARP. We already talked about why that's just not scientifically possible. But what's interesting is that this theory always seems to come up whenever a hurricane does something unexpected, like changing direction.
Right, like when a hurricane veers off course, people automatically jump to the conclusion that someone's controlling it.
That's it, exactly. But when you look at NOAA's data, you can see that the way Milton moved was totally consistent with normal atmospheric conditions. Hurricanes are incredibly complex systems. The winds, the ocean currents, even other weather systems around them, all of that plays a role in how they move.
So it's really about the chaos of nature, not some secret government plot.
Exactly. And then you have the theory that Hurricane Helene was artificially made stronger, you know, to create panic and fear. Again, it goes back to this idea that someone must be behind these seemingly random events.
Like people are looking for a villain in the story.
Right. But once again, NOAA has meticulously analyzed how Helene intensified. And they found that it was all due to natural causes. Warm ocean water and wind patterns that were just right for making the hurricane stronger. They've got all the satellite imagery, the data, the scientific models to prove it.
Sounds like NOAA is using some serious science to combat these conspiracy theories. What else have they debunked?
Oh, we've got plenty more to uncover. We're just getting started. So we were just talking about how NOAA has been really good at debunking those hurricane conspiracy theories.
Yeah, you mentioned there's more. Lay it on me. I'm ready for the next theory. It's kind of wild how these things spread.
Okay, well, how about this one? That both hurricanes were, like, engineered.
Yeah.
You know, as part of some government plot to control the population.
Whoa, okay. That takes things to a whole new level. I mean, hurricanes are devastating. To even suggest they're being created on purpose, it just feels wrong, you know? And it ignores the real suffering people go through because of them.
You're absolutely right. We have to remember that hurricanes are natural disasters. They cause a lot of damage and people lose their lives. To say it's some scheme, it just diminishes what people experience, you know? NOAA focuses on the science, so they don't get into politics or conspiracy theories. But scientifically, there's just no basis for this population control idea.
Yeah, it's good to be clear about that. What else were people saying?
Well, there's the one about the hurricane's paths. A lot of people online are pointing out that both Milton and Helene did some weird things. You know, they veered off course.
Yeah, I can see why that would raise some eyebrows. Hurricanes usually follow certain patterns, so if they suddenly do something different, I guess it makes sense that people would wonder why.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Hurricanes don't always behave perfectly predictably. NOAA has records of tons of cases where hurricanes did unexpected things, like suddenly changing direction, all because of natural stuff. You know, shifting winds, running into other weather systems, even small changes in ocean currents, all of that can make a difference.
So just because a hurricane acts a little strange doesn't automatically mean someone's controlling it.
Right. And we have to remember, we're still learning about the weather, you know. Our understanding of how it all works is still developing. To say that every time something unexpected happens, it's because of some conspiracy, that just ignores how incredibly complex these natural systems really are.
Okay, so we've got HAARP steering the hurricanes, we've got cloud seeding making them stronger, and now we've got a population control scheme. What else?
Well, you can't forget the classic cover-up theory, you know, the one where the media is keeping the truth from us. Some people are saying that the media is deliberately downplaying what's really happening with these hurricanes, or even hiding evidence of manipulation.
Ah, yes. The good old cover-up theory. Seems like that one pops up everywhere these days. But in this case, is there anything to it?
It's tough to say, really. The media's role in all of this, how they present scientific information, especially with social media now, it's complicated. Yeah, some media outlets might oversimplify things or make things sound more dramatic, but to say it's a deliberate cover-up, you need some solid proof. And as far as Hurricanes Milton and Helene go, NOAA has actually been very transparent. You know, they've released all kinds of reports, all the data, made it public. They've even directly addressed these conspiracy theories and debunked them.
So it sounds like NOAA is doing their best to fight against misinformation. They're trying to make sure people have accurate information.
Absolutely. They've got a whole team of scientists and researchers, and they're using years and years of data to back up what they're saying.
You've given us a lot to think about today. We've talked about some pretty wild theories. I'm curious, though, why are these conspiracy theories so appealing to people? Why are we drawn to these explanations, even when there's no evidence to support them?
That's a really good question, and it's something researchers have been trying to figure out for a long time. It's not always about rejecting science. Sometimes it's about wanting a different explanation, you know, seeing patterns where there might not be any. Or maybe it's about wanting to feel like we have some control in a world that can feel really chaotic. Climate change is scary, it's complex, so I can understand why people would want to find an explanation that makes it feel more manageable, even if that explanation isn't really true.
It's like we're trying to make sense of the chaos. If you believe there's a plan, even if it's a bad one, it feels better than accepting that these events are just random, you know, just part of nature.
That's a good way to put it. Conspiracy theories can make things feel more orderly. They give us a story, a way to make sense of things, even if that story is made up.
I get that. But it can be dangerous when that desire for understanding leads us to believe things that aren't true.
Exactly. And it's important to remember, distrusting authority or institutions, even the media, isn't always a bad thing. It's good to be skeptical, to question things. But when that skepticism turns into believing any conspiracy theory that comes along, that's when it becomes a problem.
So how do we find that balance? How do we encourage healthy skepticism without falling down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories?
I think it all comes down to thinking critically. You have to examine the evidence, consider different perspectives, and like we've been talking about, rely on sources you can trust. And maybe most importantly, be willing to change your mind when new information comes along.
Being open to new information, that's so important. It's easy to get stuck in our own little bubbles, surrounded by people who agree with us. But if we want to really understand things, we have to be willing to be challenged.
I completely agree.
So let's talk about the real-world impact of these climate change conspiracy theories. What happens when people actually start believing them?
Well, for one, it makes it really hard to actually address climate change. If people are convinced it's a hoax, they're not going to support policies that could help or make changes in their own lives, you know, to reduce their impact.
It's like trying to put out a fire when someone's insisting it's just a hologram.
Exactly. And the problem is, those consequences are real. The sea levels are rising, we're seeing crazier weather, ecosystems are being disrupted, food supplies are being affected. These aren't just made-up threats, they're happening now. And these conspiracy theories, they don't just affect individuals, they have a bigger impact too. They make people lose trust in science and institutions. They cause division and make it harder for people to work together. We've seen the same thing happen with other issues like COVID-19 and vaccines.
It's like a vicious cycle. The more distrust there is, the harder it is to address the problems that need everyone to work together.
That's exactly right. And that's why it's so important to be aware of these conspiracy theories, to understand how they work, and to use critical thinking to evaluate them.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what's the main thing you want listeners to take away?
The most important thing is to remember that questioning is good, skepticism is healthy, but critical thinking is essential. Don't just believe everything you read online. Look at who's saying it, think about the evidence, and be willing to change your mind if you need to.
And when it comes to climate change, where should people go for reliable information?
Organizations like NOAA are a great place to start. They have scientists who are experts in this field, and they're constantly studying and monitoring climate change. All their data and findings are available to the public.
Great advice. And I think it's also important to remember that while we've seen some attempts to modify the weather in the past, like Project Popeye, those were very limited. They weren't controlling the weather on a global scale.
Exactly. We have to be careful not to take those examples out of context. They don't support the idea that someone is out there pulling the strings of the weather like a puppet show.
So next time you see a climate change conspiracy theory, don't just ignore it. Think about why it might be appealing, but then use critical thinking to figure out if it's actually true.
That's a great way to approach it because understanding these theories, why they pop up, and how to evaluate them, it's all really important for making good decisions in a world where climate change is a reality.
Well said. Now it's time to move on to our final thought, something to think about as we come up from this deep dive into the world of climate change conspiracy theories. So we've covered a lot of ground already. We talked about HAARP, cloud seeding, even Project Popeye. But let's switch gears for a second. Let's say you stumble across a brand new climate change conspiracy theory, something we haven't even mentioned today. How would you go about figuring out if it's legit or just more misinformation?
Ooh, that's a good one. And it's a skill we all need these days, right? With so much stuff flying around online. For me, I'd start by asking myself a few questions, like, first of all, who's making this claim? Are they someone who actually knows what they're talking about, an expert in the field? Or is it someone who has a history of, you know, pushing conspiracy theories?
So it's all about checking the source.
Yeah.
Making sure you're not getting your info from someone who's just trying to cause trouble.
Exactly. Then I'd want to see the evidence. What are they basing their claims on? Is it real scientific data from reliable sources like NOAA? Or are they just using anecdotes or cherry-picking data or even making stuff up? Conspiracy theories often try to connect things that aren't related or twist the science to fit their narrative.
It's not just what they're saying, but how they're backing it up.
Right. And then I think about the big picture. Does this new theory fit with what we already know about climate science? Or does it mean throwing out everything we understand about how the world works? If someone is making a really outlandish claim, they need to have some really strong evidence to support it.
Kind of like that saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Or in this case, if it sounds too crazy to be true, it probably is.
Exactly. And finally, I'd be super cautious about anything that tries to scare people or make them distrust authority or promises a super simple solution to this really complex problem. Climate change is a serious issue, no doubt about it, but it's not some simple good versus evil story. We need real solutions. We need people to work together, not just fear and division.
So it's all about being a critical thinker, not just accepting everything you see online at face value.
Totally. It's about engaging your brain, doing your own research, and even being willing to question your own beliefs.
That's such a good point. We all have our own biases, and it's really important to be aware of them when we're looking at information.
You said it. And as we're wrapping up, I think it's important to remember that these conspiracy theories, they're not just some harmless thing people talk about online. They can have a real impact on the world. They can make people lose trust in science and institutions. They can stop us from taking action on climate change. They can even lead to dangerous and misguided actions.
It's like we've been saying, critical thinking is super important these days. It's not just a nice skill to have. It's essential for navigating the world around us.
Couldn't agree more. And remember, you don't have to be a scientist or an expert to think critically. It's about asking questions, wanting to see evidence, and being open to changing your mind.
That's a great point. You've given our listeners a lot to think about today, and hopefully some good tools for figuring out what's true and what's not when it comes to climate change conspiracy theories.
It's been great diving deep into this with you.
And to all our listeners, stay curious, keep learning, and keep those critical thinking skills sharp.
Because the truth is out there. And if we put in the effort, we can all find it.
That's a perfect way to end this episode. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into climate change conspiracy theories. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep diving deep.